Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne. This is future. This is coming. This will happen. Praise God, we that are saved are not going to be judged here. This is for the lost people. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They couldn't run away. They couldn't hide. They had nowhere to get. Their day was up. Judgment. Judgment day. There it is. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. That's where you want your name written. And if you got saved, your name is written in it. And if it's not written in it, you're not saved. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Just like whosoever will, brother, can go to heaven. Whosoever don't get saved goes to hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this church. What a great church. What an honor to be the pastor. I love these people. And Lord, what a sweetness tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you. I can sense the presence of the Lord and the people's hearts knit together tonight. And Lord, I really believe you gave me this message, a thought, over a month ago. And Lord, tonight I pray you'll help me to preach well. Thank you for this morning. Now help me, Father, to be a blessing again tonight. And Lord, I pray that there'll be people that, Lord, we've been watching people from Japan and different countries all over the world have been coming to our website. And Father, even from over in near Iraq and different the oil fields over there in the Middle East, Lord, in Germany and Lord, several others right now, Lord, Philippines and other countries, Lord, and I just pray with all my heart, first of all, for those that come from all over the country and all down through the United States that watch it, listen to it, Lord, I pray that we could be a blessing to those who come to hear the Word of God. And Father, if there'd be one that would come and not only in hitting this building tonight, but Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, anoint this, and thank you for the men that tape it and put it on. I pray that as this goes over the airways on that internet, that people will be saved. I believe this message is a message that you want the world to hear. Help me to deliver it well tonight. May you be lifted up and may Christ be glorified. And may you be given all the praise. I love you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Help me now to do well for you, that I could be a blessing to all the hearers. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The great white throne will take place after we just read about this great white throne in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And that great white throne will take place after the 1,000-year millennium reign, which we call the kingdom age, ends. So for you to have a time span, right now we're in a church age. The year I'm preaching is 2010. The next thing we believe on the church, on our calendar, Miss Betty, I think the next thing is for God to call us up. Brother Marty, we're going to be ship ahoy. We're going up. We're sailing on, amen? And that's called the rapture. We call it the rapture. The Bible calls it a mystery. And when that happens, there'll be a seven-year period called the tribulation. We'll be up in heaven with Christ getting brand new bodies. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I can't wait to get... Buddy, if I don't get one pretty soon, I got a feeling this one's going to cash in. But I need a new body. By the way, every one of us do, amen? We're going to get a brand new body. Christ is going to call us up. soul and spirit are going a brand new body. Never get sick, never die. Wow, isn't that exciting? Yeah. Live forever. Man, that's exciting, amen? Amen. Well, while we're up there with Christ in heaven for 7 years, there's going to be the worst time on this earth that the world ever has known, called the tribulation. It's coming soon. It's coming real soon. I believe it's going to come in our lifetime. Yes. I believe that in the depths of my heart. After that 7 years is over, Jesus Christ is going to come back and all the saints of God with him. It's going to be a great battle called Armageddon. He's going to put down Satan and all those that go against God. Be over there in Jerusalem, in the place called Megiddo. And Christ is going to be the victor. And he's going to put down all those that opposed him. And he's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. And then after that 1,000 years is over, all lost people are going to be resurrected. And that's where we're at, the white throne judgment. All lost people that from Adam and Eve are saved, by the way. And I can prove it in Scripture that they were saved. But from Adam and Eve all the way to the last person born at that time, everyone who was lost when they died, they will go to this white throne judgment. Aren't you glad? If you're saved, you're not going to be there, though. Amen? And so, I'm excited about the Lord coming. And I'm excited about getting a brand new body. But can I say this to you? After that 1,000 years is over, and that millennial reign, I never thought about it till last week when I said that. You know, would the Lord help us build that new building? And if it doesn't get tore down during the trib, we could use that during the millennium, amen? Maybe God would use it for something over here in Ravenna. Be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, a new building, amen? And if we build it right before the rapture, it'd only be a little over 7 years old. Hello? Not bad. Think about it. There's a good reason to build that thing, Brother Mike. That's not for now, but for the future. It won't be used for the same purpose, but we could still use it. Amen? And so, but you get to this white throne judgment where all lost people stand before the judge of the world. And this will be the saddest day in all recorded history. This right here will be the saddest day for most human beings in all recorded history. This is a day where every lost person who died without Christ will be resurrected and stand before Christ, the judge of the world, and will be pronounced judgment on them. When you look at verse 12 and 13, in 11, you'll see that no one escapes, that all lost persons from all times since Adam will stand before God Almighty. And verse 15 says, everyone will be forever cast in the lake of fire. I believe in all of history, there will never be greater screams, greater cries. I believe, Eddie, I believe with all my heart, I know and I'm going to mention a few horrific days that we know about. Brian, I believe this will be the most horrific day in recorded history of mankind, this day right here. On this day, on the white throne judgment, this is a day that will never be forgotten. The people that go there, because they'll remember it for all eternity. You get this. This day also, you want to see something? You still got your Bibles open to Revelation? Look at Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You see that? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Whew. You know what that means, kids? That means we step out in eternity. So, get this now. Listen what the preacher's telling you. This day will be the day that ends time forever. This day, the white throne judgment, will be the last day of recorded time. Because after that, we step out into eternity. Hello? Are you still with me? They will be cast in a lake of fire, and they'll be cast away forever. And the saved wander into heaven. Step out in eternity with God Almighty in Revelation 21:1, new heaven, new earth. So, as the kids, I could say, when you get to Revelation 20:15, it's like the that's all, folks. It's all for this earth as far as the way we know it. Oh, it's going to keep on going. But as far as recorded time, how many understand what I'm talking? It'll be the end of it. This day will never be forgotten, though, throughout all eternity. The day of the white throne judgment will be the most dreaded day ever recorded for lost mankind. This day will never be forgotten. No other day in recorded history will ever come close to this day of devastation and its hurt and its shame. Not the slaughter of Little Bighorn, not the scorching fires and smoke of 9-1-1, and not Pearl Harbor, the surprise attack of Pearl Harbor, where over 2,400 men were killed that day, and over almost, they say, 1,177 to 1,400 sailors and Marines were killed alone on the Arizona that day. Four ships were sunk that day on December 7th. Eight ships were damaged. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. That was a devastating day, wasn't it? Can I tell you, the Little Bighorn, when Custard was slaughtered, 9-1-1, when the people were burned up, and Pearl Harbor, you take all the horrific days that we know in history, none will compare. If you put all those together, none will compare to this day. This is the most horrific day that will ever be recorded in the annals of time of mankind. Can anyone say amen? Amen. On December 8th, 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt, D. Roosevelt, made this speech to Congress. And it's known as the Day of Infamy speech. The Day of Infamy speech. The president's speech, and here it is. I'm going to give you a few lines. How many have ever heard them? They've recorded it. And yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a day which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval air forces of the Empire of Japan. By the way, there were six aircrafts from Japan that carried 353 planes. And they came that day in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii in two ships, the first one around 7:53 and the next one around 8:55. And then by around 10 o'clock, it was all over. But America took a beating that day. Boy, they were sad. They were sad that they came after us in the long run, though, weren't they? But these, what happened on December 7th, 1941, the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his words are always still remembered. They're still recorded. I've heard them myself. And they're still written down for people to read. December 7th, 1941, I'm working on something. You'll see what I'm doing. A date which will live in infamy. That's what his words were. A date that will live in infamy. By the way, I was curious. I looked up that word infamy. It's in our Bible. It's in the King James Bible. It's in there twice. It's in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 10. And it's Ezekiel 36, 3. Proverbs 25, 10. And Ezekiel 36, 3. And it's always connected with shame. The word infamy is connected with shame. I took that big Webster dictionary, Brother Mike, that was 1828, and I looked it up. I looked that word up, infamy. And here's what it said that infamy means. Total loss of reputation. Public disgrace. In other words, shame. Qualities which are detested and despised. By the way, the Great White Throne will be the day that we'll live, not Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor might live in infamy right now, but the great white throne, that's the day that's going to live in infamy. Because it'll never be forgotten. And by the way, it'll never be compared to. Tonight I want to preach to you on, and here's the title, John, the infamy of hell. I want to preach to you, I'm going to give you three thoughts about the infamy of hell. Number one, the reputation of the infamy of hell. On that day, when people stand before Christ at the white throne judgment, that day people will learn that God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11 says that God is no respecter of persons. Are you still got your Bible open in Revelation? Did you notice in Revelation 20, verse 12? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. It don't matter. That day there'll be kings, queens, royalty, but then there'll be the guy that's a bum, a street urchin. There'll be all. There won't be no status that day. There'll be no reputation that day. See, the reputation of the infamy of hell, they're going to find out there's no reputation in that day. On that day, you will see kings and paupers being judged on the same level with no impartiality. They will have total loss of reputation. I don't care what they had when they died. They could have been King Tut. They could have been anything they wanted. But on that day, I don't care. It don't matter who, if you were a king or just a plain person, a common person. It doesn't matter. There's no reputation in the infamy of hell. There's no big shots or little shots. They're all condemned. And they're all condemned equally. Can anyone say amen? I noticed that they became a public disgrace. But when you don't turn to it, in Matthew chapter 7 and 21 through 23, it says, many will come in, and not everyone says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. And they'll say, it goes on to say, didn't I do many wonderful works? But did I do many? See, God, and then, but the verse 23 says, depart from me. I never knew you. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if they're a preacher, a priest, a pope, a Lutheran. I don't care what status they had in life. If they were not born again, they're going to find out the reputation of the infamy of hell is that there's no reputation. You have no reputation. God's not a respecter of persons. And so they will perish without it. Now, then they will, their reputation, no matter what the status that they held, won't matter, because now they're going to be reduced to the lowest level. There's a good chance. You know what people might be reduced to, those that are lost? Worms. Maggots. Isaiah 66:24 says that their worm, you talk about no reputation, that's no reputation. And by the way, they can never get it restored back. Oh, I was a king. Don't matter now. Live from hell for, still with me? For there shall, neither shall there, and they shall be in a port unto all flesh. 9:44. Where their white throne judgment reduced to maggots. If I had family and friends, I'd want to warn them that this is coming, because the infamy of hell. So number one, the reputation of the infamy of hell. Number two, the regret of the infamy of hell. The rich man cried out in Luke 23. You look 23 through 28. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Oh, they'll be crying out that day. Won't do them no good, though. They'll remember in Luke 16, 25, he said, remember thou in thy lifetime. Look up here. You know, I've had a lot of people laugh at me, make fun of me, mock me. That's all right. You've had people you've witnessed to, and they've said, no, no. Can I tell you something? Don't get mad. Just keep going. Because I really believe in my heart, one thing that when they stand before the white throne judgment, people that who've despitely trodden underfoot the grace of God, God's going to bring up. God's going to bring up. I believe they're going to see those days that they laughed at that soul winner. I believe they're going to see the days that they mocked the Bible. I believe they're going to see. God's going to show them. I believe he's going to bring them like a little film and say, here's your life. This is your, here, look at this. This is what you were shaking your fist at me. Hello? How many are still with me? The rich man cried out, but it was too late. He said, he was reminded to remember his past life. They will have regret. They will have remorse throughout all eternity that they didn't trust Christ to save their soul. Think about this. They're in hell now burning. They will remember they could have been saved. How many think they'll reject? How many think they'll regret it? I think they'll be crying out, oh God, I'm sorry. I don't want to reject Christ. I've changed my mind. Just like in Noah's day when they were beaten on the ark, but they couldn't get in. They didn't have to go to hell. They didn't have to go to hell. You think about it. Christ is a provision for all people. Christ was there to protect them from going to hell. I'm glad he's there to protect us. We've taken that protection. We've accepted that provision. You're listening by way of internet. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, he's a provision for you to escape the judgment of hell. You ought to stop even right before I get done. Right now, if I was you, I'd bow my head and say, dear God, save my soul. I don't want to die and go to hell. Trust Jesus right now. Don't wait for the end of the message. Just trust Christ right now. But I've noted, because of their evil heart, they rejected and refused the gift of God. The Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift was right there, but they rejected it. They had the protection of God. They had the provision of God. They had the promise of Christ. Whosoever shall come, I'll save you. Whosoever believeth in me shall be saved. They had the promise of Christ, eternal life. That the Son hath life. They had the promise, and they said, no, I don't want it. They will regret that they didn't. I thought about, can you imagine how many people? I thought about King Agrippa over in the book of Acts where he told Paul, Paul almost persuadeth me. And Agrippa, he was just one prayer. God pricked his heart. He was that close. One prayer to get him into heaven. But his evil heart said, no, I'll wait for later. I'll wait for another time. I don't think I'm ready yet. You better get ready because you don't know when the day's coming. But this day's coming for sure. And I could see King Agrippa saying, I was right there with the Apostle Paul. All I had to do was bow my head and ask Christ to save me. I was one prayer from heaven. And now for ages and ages of eons of time, for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, he's going to burn and burn and be wailing and gnashing of teeth, all because he turned away from the provision and the promise and the prayer of faith that would have gotten saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what, folks? Can I say this to you? Sometimes I let people pray in the altars. Now, I'd rather have them come forward. I think it's better. But can I be honest with you, Brother Eddie? When I see a man and woman crushed and their spirit's broken and they're walking down weeping, wanting to get saved, to be honest with you, even though they hadn't said, they're already prepared. They're ready to come. You don't have to come into an altar. You don't have to be inside a church to be saved. It's the brokenness of your heart. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And all, can you imagine King Agrippa? You got to get this throughout. We're talking about forever. I can't grasp forever. I mean, forever is a long time, isn't it? We can't even grasp it. And these people that go to the white throne judgment, that had the provision, that had the protection there, that were, all they had to do was reach up and with God by faith in a prayer and say, Lord, save my soul. They were one prayer from heaven and one prayer from escaping hell. And they're going to be there for eternity. Can you imagine the remorse, the regret, what's going to be going through them, and they can't change it? How many of you have ever done something and say, boy, I'm sorry, I'm never going to make that mistake again? This mistake, when they go to hell, can't be corrected. It's unchangeable. Oh, and then lastly, number three, the rewards of the infamy of hell. First of all, it's total separation from God forever. Just that alone. I can't imagine being separated from God forever. Can you imagine that? I mean, that would, just that alone, being separated from God forever. See, hell was made for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, verse 41. Hell wasn't prepared for lost people, but they was prepared for the devil and all those who follow him. If God didn't want anyone to die and go to hell. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But number one, the rewards of the infamy of hell, total separation from God forever. Matthew 7:23, depart from me, I never knew you. They will live forever away from God. They will forever be removed from God's presence. They will forever be removed from God's love. They will be forever removed from God's mercy. They will be forever removed from God's grace. I mean, listen, look, I might be boring you tonight, but I hope you think what I'm telling you tonight. This is major. There are going to be people removed from the love of, and the mercy and the grace of God for all eternity, forever. That's why we want to embrace them now and say, no, don't go there. Don't let this happen to you. They will forever be separated from his light. I read in Revelation chapter 21, when we get to heaven, 21 verse 23 and 24 says there'll be no sun because God is going to, Jesus is going to be the light. We're going to live in his light. Isn't that exciting? Woo! That's a glow. Amen? That's glory. Amen? Lost people, though. Jude says in Jude verse 13, the blackness of darkness forever. Can you imagine the extreme? We're going to live in the brightness and glory of God, in his presence and his light, and they're going to be separated in the blackness of darkness forever. Whew, man, I'm glad I'm saved. Punishment? The Bible says that the man in Luke cried out, said, have mercy, for I'm tormented in this flame. Look at Revelation 14:11. Look at Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. These are lost people. All lost people are going to be cast in a lake of fire. And their torment's going to send up forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If you got a friend, and you got a family and you say you love them and you've never warned them, you don't love them, because they're going to this place unless they get saved. Don't tell me you care if you haven't warned them about this. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do we really? We show Jesus we love when we tell people about his love. Punishment. They're tormented day and night. Matthew 25, 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 13, 42 and 51, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. I'm going to tell you right now, the infamy of hell is going to be the most horrendous thing that this world has ever known. Nothing can even come close to the infamy of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no greater depravity, there's no greater shame, there's no greater sorrow. And to be separated from God, listen, there's nothing greater than what's going to happen in the infamy of hell. Let me close with one thing with you. Still in the book of Revelation? I'm going to show you what I think I believe is true. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. I believe I'm right on this. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. We read Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. People are cast into hell. Now watch. Look at 20. By the way, everything is right in the book of Revelation. Everything is chronologically written. In other words, it's right in order. Boom, 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 boom. So now these people are cast in the infamy of hell forever. God makes a new heaven, new earth. And look what verse 4 says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I hope this isn't true, but I think it is, Annie. Brother Mike, I think we're going to be witnesses. We're not going to be the ones judged, because we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for up there in heaven. While the tribulation is going on. If I understand the Bible, I could be wrong on this, but I hope I am wrong on it. But I think the whole heavenly host is going to be there. And I think we're going to see lost people, our family, our moms and dads, our sisters and brothers and cousins and friends and aunts and uncles and you name it, people we worked with, people we've had contact with, people that never got saved that we probably went to the store and they used to ring us out or went to the gas station and waited on us or maybe a barber and cut our hair. We're going to see those people that they brought up before the white throne judgment. We're going to say, oh my lands, that man used to work with me. We're going to see him cast out in the lake of fire. And maybe their eyes, I don't know, but maybe their eyes will look up to us and say, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? That's why Ezekiel says we're going to be standing with blood on our hands. Ezekiel 33 and Ezekiel 3. Those two chapters, it says, if you fail to warn the wicked, their blood will require at your hand. I just wonder if we're going to be dripping wet with blood. And we're going to be crying and saying, oh, I'm sorry. But it's going to be too late. Forever too late. Because your family and your friend went to the infamy of hell. Pearl Harbor was bad. 9-1-1 was bad. Custard was slaughtered. Little Bighorn was bad. The Alamo was bad. You could keep naming things. And they're down in infamy right now. But nothing will ever compare to the infamy of hell. I hope we'll check our hearts. Is there a family member that you need to tell about the love of Christ? Is there a person that you work with that needs to hear about the love of Christ? You can't save them, but you can at least tell them. How many people pass us by? David sings that song. People need the Lord. You know what, son? Come up here. You're going to sing that for me. We're going to close with that. I don't know where Rosie's at. Find that song for me. People need the Lord. We're going to leave on that song. But I'm going to tell you something. In that day, Eddie, we're going to deal. And I know you and Lizzie witnessed, and thank you for being witness, soul winners. Thank you for loving the bus people. But in that day, Brother Mark, we're going to really, that song, people need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, people need the Lord. They're heading for the infamy of hell. They're heading one by all. You got to get this. Picture the great throne of God in heaven and miles and miles and miles of people that are lost. And one by one, they come up to the judge. One by one, miles of them come up to the judge. And God brings their life in front of them. And then they're cast into the lake of fire, thrown out forever, forever gone, with no hope. We might be bystanders, Annie. We might be in the gallery looking down. I hope we're not. And maybe that's why God's going to wipe our tears in Revelation 21:4, because we are going to have so many tears because people that our friends and our family that we knew that they weren't saved and we didn't even pray for them. We never witnessed them. We never wrote them a letter. We never did nothing to reach out to try to get them changed so they could go to heaven. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord because they're going to the infamy of hell. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And it's about time we get a glimpse of the infamy of hell. There's nothing more horrific, nothing more devastating, no more dreadful than the infamy of hell. Heavenly Father, move our beings. Make us sense that people are heading. Hell is enlarging itself every day. One day, the multitudes of people and some of our families and our close friends and our acquaintances will be part of that group. And they're going to be cast out in the infamy of hell. Help us. Help us to reach out now. Help us to get down deep in our soul and spirit that people need the Lord right now. And we really need to go out to people because people really need the Lord. I want with our heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, first of all, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to the infamy of hell. How many could raise their hand and say, I'm positive I'm saved and I'm not going to the infamy of hell? Thank you. May put them down. Would there be any? It looked like every hand went up, but I could have missed something. Is there anyone tonight? Don't, if you're not sure, don't put it off. I wouldn't go to hell for nobody. This is really important. The most important thing in life. You'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to the infamy of hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to go to the infamy of hell. And then let me ask you this, and I'm going to pray. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God and say, preacher, while you were preaching tonight, God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I know somebody, a friend or acquaintance or a family member, and I know they're lost, and I've got to reach them. I'm going to pray that God, I reach them before it's too late. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Pray for me. Oh God, my hand's up too. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of people. Holy Spirit of God, get down deep in our soul tonight. Help us not to walk out here the same. Oh God, let us see people as living eternal souls. They're heading for the infamy of hell, never to be reversed, never to be changed, never to have a second chance. Forever and forever damned and doomed and burning and gnashing of teeth and punishment. Some will be our own families. Oh God, help us to look at people going to the infamy of hell. And Lord, you saw every hand. I pray these people be stirred this week. I pray that you'll get down in their beings, mine also, and that we'd warn people that they're heading for the infamy of hell. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. Maybe you ought to be coming down this altar and praying, God, help me reach that people before they go to the infamy of hell.